final reading from our text tonight. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in the darkness. I am the Lord God. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I wonder if you can tell who the prophet is speaking about. Can you? I put my spirit upon him. It comes from the gospel according to John, when Jesus was baptized. Coming up out of the water, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. He will not cry out. Imagine being lashed by the Roman soldiers brutally, professional warriors. Jesus not crying out. And the God, the Lord, who created the heavens and earth and stretched them out, who spread out the whole earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you into righteousness. I have called Jesus into righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people. We recite those words in our liturgy, in breaking the bread and sharing the cup. And on the night he was betrayed, he gave thanks and blessed the cup and said, "Take, drink from this, for this is the new and everlasting covenant, my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. I have given you as a new covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon." Why are we so impatient? I want you to ponder that question as we meditate on that word tonight. Because what you have to understand is it was 700 years before the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that God planted these very words and gifted them onto Isaiah, and Isaiah spoke them and penned them. 700 years. I'm so glad that we're living in New Testament time. Think about the Israelites held captive in Egypt. They prayed for 400 years, 400, before God responded to that prayer. We are an impatient people. I speak from experience. Last Tuesday morning, I was not having a good morning. I had to go fill a prescription, and because our health insurance has changed at the first of the year. It was the first time I had to fill the prescription at a new pharmacy just to save some money. Boy, how irritating is that when you've already got it figured out and you got a process in place and you just call it in and it's mailed to you. Anybody here like change? So I had to go to a new pharmacy, and I won't say which one, it was Walgreens. And I got there at 8 o'clock, and I walked back to the pharmacy, and it's closed. The shutters are down, no signage anywhere. And I'm thinking, why on earth have a pharmacy in a building that's open to the public and the pharmacy's closed? That just baffles me. And no signage. And I'm getting rather perturbed now. So I finally find somebody that worked at Walgreens, and I walked up to them and I says, the pharmacy's closed. Oh, yes, sir. They don't open till 9 a.m. Oh, okay. Well, I'm 20 minutes from the church. I'm an hour and a half too early to go to my hospital visit. And I have an hour to kill. I have an hour to kill, okay? So that means what? I am not in a hurry, right? So I go catty corner to the McDonald's. I go through the drive-thru. And by design, I think, McDonald's has figured out a way to test our patience. Because they don't have one drive-thru lane now, they have got two. And so there's always that anxiety if you've ever frequented one of those places. Are they going to get my order right? Or are they going to give the order to the guy in front of me? Right? And so I pull up to the sign and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting, and the guy on the other lane places his order and he pulls up, but he doesn't pull up all the way. Which really frustrates me. And then I get interrupted from my frustration by the attendant who wants to take my order. So I give my order, and she repeats it back to me, and I says, yes, that's right, that's right. Yes, that's right. And so I know I have to wait for this blue car that's taking its time inching up. And the whole time I'm thinking, you've got 6 more feet, just move on up. And this plays into our impatience. Like, don't make no mistake. It's like, I know I am not the only one that suffers from this. Because when we pray for stuff, we want an answer and response right now, do we not? And so, as we inch up, I'm right on the guy's bumper. And he's letting 8 feet between each car. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, oh. And I still have that same hour to kill, so I don't know why I'm getting so agitated. And then the guy pulls up to the window, and he's taking his time. He's got his food. He's given the money, and he's chatting with the lady, and I'm like, come on already, right? Finally, he pulls away, and I pull up, and I have my card, my credit card is, I'm not even to a complete stop, and I'm like, here, take it, take it, take it. And the lady goes, your order's been paid for by the gentleman that was before you. And here's one of the things that I knew God was at work, because I've been going through a multicultural ethnic class, or multicultural diversity class, or racial diversity class, or however you want to say it. And I've been having a wonderful experience with a very diverse group on Tuesday nights over at Garfield Memorial Church. And it just so happens that, and it doesn't make a difference, but it just so happened that it was an African-American person driving that car. And, you know, God has a funny sense of humor when it comes to working out our issues. Because as he was taking his time going up there, I was thinking about all these stereotypes. And when I finally got up there and she said the gentleman had paid for my meal, I began to cry. I began to cry because how often or how many times have I been impatient waiting on God? How many times trying to do things in my way, in my time, instead of just being present in the moment? And then it's just like God's grace and blessing to pull up to the window and say, in here, this meal's on me. Not on me, but somebody else. You know, do you know what I'm saying? Can you relate to that? I wonder, what are you being impatient about? Or who are you being impatient with right now? Some of the prayers that we pray, boy, I tell you, we may be waiting a long time to have them answered. I can remember early on in my marriage, even before I knew who God was, I prayed. I was a praying man back then. God, please change my wife, right? I don't know if he's responded to that prayer yet, but I know that I have changed a bunch in waiting. And I know when I pray a prayer like this, God, teach me something today. He gives me an hour to kill and a McDonald's drive-thru to go through to learn a lesson. When I pray a prayer like, God, put somebody in my path that I can share the good news with, guess what? He responds in a mighty quickly way. I think about Isaiah proclaiming these words and how courageous of a man he must have been to say, God is sending someone to us that is going to be the light of the world. And 700 years going by. And how many people like, you ever hear that thing Isaiah, that crazy Isaiah was saying? Right? See, we have the benefit of being on the other side of the resurrection. We have the beautiful view, the hindsight view of that prophecy becoming real and fulfilled. We have the beautiful, beautiful witness of disciples that sat around the table with Jesus when he took bread. And he gave thanks and he blessed it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat and be filled. And this is my blood of the new an everlasting covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. Be renewed and refreshed. And know that that prophecy of 700 years has been fulfilled. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we would pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these common elements of bread and fruit of the vine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ. That as we partake, that we become one with you and one in witness to the world of a prophecy that has been fulfilled, a blessing that has been poured out, a covenant that cannot be broken. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Beth, would you serve with me tonight? And Kelly, would you serve as well? What's that? Okay. Would you serve? There you go. There you go. Be generous. And I will be here at the gluten-free station. One simple rule: if you come hungry, that's enough. If you come longing, that's enough. If you come setting aside your impatience, that's enough. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church to come and receive this gift. The table's been set, the invitation extended. Come as you are. Come when you're ready. I think of the final words of Jesus on the cross. It is finished. 700 years in the making. It is finished. The work of Christ crucified for us so that we could become patient with God, trust in God, and love God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have peace and patience, and most of all, love.